Good afternoon, everyone. My name's James
Vane-Tempest.
I'm Jefferies' European Specialty Pharma Analyst. I'm delighted to introduce Juan López-Belmonte, CEO of Rovi. And with that, I'll hand over to Juan. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Good afternoon to everybody. First of all, I would like to thank you, Jefferies, for the invitation one more year to present our company in the healthcare conference. We want to say that Rovi is a story of growth. We went public in 2007. Since then, we have more than doubled our revenue line. We have more than almost tripled our market cap. And as well, we have, I believe, managed to convey to the market that we are a company with a very predictable growth item. We are a structure, and I think this slide summarizes really well the strategy of the company. We have two major pillars of growth, which, as you can see on the right-hand side of the slide, is our specialty pharma on one end and our ISM sustained-release injectable platform, the second pillar of growth. Within the specialty pharma, we have three line of businesses. The first one is our heparin franchise. There we have two compounds, bemiparin, a second generation low molecular weight heparin that is marketed in 56 countries, and a biosimilar of enoxaparin that we were one of the first companies to enter into the European market. The second driver of growth within the specialty pharma is our own operations in Spain. We are one of the largest companies in the Spanish pharma market with one of the largest sales forces available with over 250 people with a tremendous broad portfolio that I will share with you later. And the third driver of growth with our specialty pharma is our contract manufacturing operations. This is a real added value CMO, mainly focused on injectables and more specialized in prefilled syringes. And the second pillar of growth of the company is really where we are investing, putting all our research and development effort and resources is our ISM technology. That's a versatile, long-acting injectable formulation, which is patented protected as an in-house development. We have already two candidates in clinical trials. Well, the first one, we have already published the phase 3, where, as I will share with you later, we have successfully achieved the primary and the secondary key endpoints, and we'll be filing in Europe, hopefully before the year end. And the second candidate in our clinical trials with this platform is at least a six-month injection of letrozole to treat the hormone receptor positive breast cancer. I will share with you in a few minutes much more information. On top of that, I think we are a company that we have managed to deliver a very important operational leverage over these last 10 years or 12 years. And we have as well, because it's part of our philosophy, we have invested heavily in order to assure the supply chain for all our projects and programs. So most of the CapEx to make these projects feasible has already been done by the company. If we just move into the first pillar of growth, which is the specialty pharma business, let me recap again that first we have the heparin franchise. There we have two low molecular weight heparins. And we believe that with bemiparin plus the biosimilar enoxaparin, Rovi has got all the features to become one of the major global players worldwide in this field in the next decade. We have in-house a tremendous knowledge of the pathology itself, the supply chain. We are vertical manufacturers integrated. And I think, as I mentioned before, that this is already a reality. We are in the execution phase, and for this purpose, we have already installed our own footprint in Europe. And really, the goal and the strategic target of the company for the short-term future is really to become one of the players in this specific area. The second driver, the specialty pharma business, you will see that we have tremendous predictable growth item in this area. We are really the partner of choice by the big pharma companies in Spain, and we believe that this is going to be sustainable over time. And the contract manufacturing operations, whereas I will give you more information in a couple of minutes, again, this is a high added value. We're not talking about regular CMO low-margin activities. But on the other hand, we are talking about a substantial high added value margins because we are really doing the fill and finish of the most innovative compounds of the big pharma companies. If we move into what is right now our flagship product on low molecular weight heparin, that's bemiparin, which is a product, as I mentioned before, that it was developed in-house, and we have managed to register the product and commercialize in 56 countries, but still pending registration in another 14 countries. In Spain, we hold the number two position on the market with sales last year of 67 million euros and a market share already on the 32-33%. And we have managed to get this market share thanks, obviously, of our sales capabilities, but as well because we have a clinically differentiated profile. I mean, bemiparin has a much wider therapeutic window of administration, and as well it has a much more convenient treatment for the indication of DVT. Actually, it's the only second generation low molecular weight heparin that can treat effectively with one dose per day, 24 hours, any patient profile, regardless of his risk levels. So we do believe that we will still strive and increase our market share in this product in Spain. On the international arena, sales are going extremely well as well. Last year, we made 24 million euros in sales. Our approach is different in this case. We are a profit-oriented company. So really our goal here is to license out the product to third parties which are locally strong in order to really maximize our profit, as we are talking about transfer price, royalties, and down payments that they go right at the bottom of the P&L account. Enoxaparin, that's the second compound within our heparin franchise. We were the first or the second to get in most of the European market. Let me recap the opportunity. Here we are talking about a global opportunity outside the US of 1.5 billion. Europe is the largest market by far, with a revenue line by the original product of close to 1 billion, 0.9. And the rest of the world, around 600 million euros. In our experience, biosimilars, in the long term, they tend to reach a market share between 50 to 70% of the sales of the original products. We believe this is going to be an uncrowded market. Let me remind you that in Europe, heparin is considered biosimilar, so the regulatory pathway is much more challenging than in other countries like the US. So we believe that although there's going to be competition, definitely it's going to be a much more uncrowded market that we are right now seeing in other biosimilars markets. Again, Robbie here, we believe that we have some unique features. We have an unparalleled track record in low molecular weight heparins. With bemiparin, we have registered a product almost everywhere in the world. The dossier was developed by ourselves, so we have the know-how and the IP of how to do an enoxaparin properly. We are vertical manufacturing integrated. We do everything ourselves. And I think that will allow us what it counts at the end of the day, to be able to provide to the market a much more competitive product in terms of price. And I think the performance so far has been quite good. I mean, we have already launched the product in most of the most important markets in Europe. Obviously Spain, Portugal, France, Italy, UK, Germany, Poland, Austria. And we will launch in most of the remaining markets or significant markets in Europe before the end of the year. As I mentioned before, in order to maximize this opportunity, we have established our own footprint. So we are having commercial operations in all the major seven countries in Europe. That means that we are targeting by ourselves 75 to 80% of the market potential, and as you can see, the sales on quarter by quarter, I mean, they are performing pretty well. I mean, in the first 9 months, we are over 50 million euros in sales, and actually, we believe that we're in the right track really to maximize this opportunity. That's what we call our first stage of commercialization, in the sense that first, obviously, was Europe; it's our home market. That's where we know the dynamics very well. We know the regulatory pathway process, and we wanted to be there as soon as possible. But as well, we are looking to a second stage of commercialization. That means the rest of the world. And in that sense, I think we have already done our homework in the right way. We have already strike agreements for almost 80 6 countries. So that means that we are covering almost the whole of the rest of the world. And we believe this is going to provide a second wave and a third wave of growth in the next coming years. So we are approaching, I think, the market the right way. We know this is a long-term race. It's not going to be easy, but I think that something that we can be quite happy is the way that we have started this approach. Because again, the statement that, or at least the internal goal that we have imposed ourselves as a company, is to become one of the major players. This is, again, it's a 1.5 billion euro opportunity. And we believe that we have the features, the CAPEX, we have all the industrial facilities in place. We have even announced very recently the construction of a second manufacturing operation to enlarge our capacity further. So definitely Robbie is going to put all our resources and motivation really to become, as I have mentioned a couple of times before, one of the major players in the heparin arena. If we move to our specialty operations in Spain, well, here we are one of the big guys. I mean, we have one of the largest sales capabilities, 250 people only in the specialty arena. We are really the partner of choice. I'm not going to go to every single agreement we have in place, but I don't think you will easily find any other company showing such a track record of collaboration with the big pharma companies. We are the partner of Merck, Sapandon, we are the partner of Novartis, we are the partner of Astellas. I always try to summarize this, like, we are very good at selling in Spain, we have shown it, and we think that we will be able to maintain. So we expect to as well announce, as we have done in the last 10 years, at least one agreement per year. So the specialty pharma business is a very predictable growth item for us. It's boring, but it's extremely attractive. From as we do have already all the structure with a track record that is extremely positive. In the contract manufacturing arena, again, I always try to repeat and repeat that we are not the typical CMO. Here we are talking about the fastest growing market on the contract manufacturing operations, which are injectables, and more specifically in injectables on the prefilled syringe field. There are very few companies worldwide capable of addressing this market, and Robbie is one of them. We are talking that we have three manufacturing sites fully dedicated to this. We are one of the companies with the largest available capacity worldwide. We are close to 300 million prefilled syringes, plus 60 or 80 million in vials. And again, this is a very attractive business for ourselves. It's very complementary to the heparin franchise that I have mentioned before. And on general, injectables means that you have long-term contracts. So we like to say it's almost a customer for life business model, unless you don't do properly your job. You have a very high visibility in terms of revenues. And injectables, by definition, is a market that has got very high entry barriers. So again, we are very good at this, and again, this is not the typical CMO activity, and it's a core business of the company because it provides a tremendous added value to the company, and we believe we've managed to grow at a CAGR growth of 5% in the last 10 years, and I think that growth is going to even to be further accelerated in the next coming years. And then we move to the second pillar of growth of the company. That's our long-acting injectable technology. This has been in-house developed. It's patented protected. It's a product that is based on two prefilled syringes. On one syringe, we have the polymer and the active principle in a solid state. And then in the other prefilled syringe, we have the solvent in a liquid state, and we reconstitute the product before injection. We have already two candidates. We will be filing in Europe hopefully before the end of the year, which is a monthly injection of risperidone. And the second one, we are finalizing the phase one studies, which really is what it counts when it comes to pharmacokinetics. I mean, although we have to perform a phase three study, really phase one is the validating clinical phase to be sure that you got pharmacokinetic curve similar to the oral formulation. This is a very attractive market for Rovi. If you take into account the size of the company, the fact that we can go to the fast-track regulatory process in Europe and to the 505B2 regulatory process in the U.S., that's a very, very convenient from a cost-effectiveness point of view. As well, here on the right-hand side of the or the left-hand side of the slide, you have the features that we think it makes our long-acting injectable technology different to what is already existing on the market. On one end, we have invested very heavily on PK and simulation models because we thought it was the right way in order to increase or enhance the predictability of success of the phase 3 clinical trials, and that has been confirmed with the data of the phase 3 on risperidone, DORIA. Second, we have improved significantly stability. We don't need room temperature. So, we don't need cold control temperature. Ours can be stored at room temperature. The third one is a very flexible platform. On one end, we are having a monthly injection of risperidone, but on the other product, we are targeting at least a six-month injection. The third is the improved clinical management. We have a very rapid onset. We managed to get therapeutic plasma levels the very first day of injection. That means that we don't need oral concomitant dosage, and we don't need building doses in order to get therapeutic plasma levels. And the fifth, and also extremely important, this is injectables. This is our bread and butter. And we have already built, there are already GMP-approved sites for both candidates, both for DORIA and for letrozole. So altogether, that provides a lot of assurance in the sense that the industrialization and the scale-up of this product is already being guaranteed, which I think, believe me, this is to fill a solid dose aseptically filling on a prefilled syringe is not something that many companies worldwide are capable of doing that. I believe we are one of the very few companies. So this technology embodies patent protection from one end, the technology itself, but as well we have an industrial knowledge and patent industrial patent protection that really we believe that it will enable us to be able to sell this product and this category of products for many years. Talking just a few minutes about DORIA, I think it's good to remind everybody some basic data about the schizophrenia pathology. Unfortunately, we are talking about 21 million patients worldwide, so we are talking a chronic condition that with an increase of life expectancy every year. The market is huge. The market we are talking overall over close to $4.3 billion. Dollars in the long-acting injectable. The U.S. accounts for $3.3 billion. Europe accounts for $1 billion. But still, the penetration rate of the long-acting injectable is very low. It's very low. I mean, Europe, which is the most advanced region of the world in introducing the long-acting injectables, we are talking still only a penetration in terms of treatment of 20-21%. In the United States, we're talking about 12.7-13%. So, first of all, unfortunately, the people suffering from this pathology is huge, but as well, within this pathology, there is still out of room to grow with the long-acting injectables. And I'm saying this because psychiatrists are now and now more bullish in long-acting injectable technologies. Now, the whole question about treating schizophrenia patients is the adherence to the treatments. One relapse or avoid hospitalization means a progressive deterioration of the brain, and that's irreversible. So now really the approach of to treat schizophrenia is to make sure that the adherence is 100% complete. So there is nothing better than the long-acting injectables where their doctors or their caretakers, they can easily check and follow up whether the patients are taking their drugs. And actually we see certain, I would say, dynamics that at least it makes us extremely optimistic that we can have a tremendous good result when we launch this product. First is that this market, the switch rate is very high. The moment the doctor see that they are not getting the results they are not controlling the symptoms of the schizophrenia on their patient, they immediately change to another treatment. So the dynamic market is huge. Although it's a chronic condition, we see a lot of switch rate, and that's extremely important for a newcomer in like it could be in our case. The second, for a company of our size, we are talking about a very limited number of doctors. I mean, the psychiatrists that they look after schizophrenia, we are talking about hundreds of doctors rather than thousands of doctors. So it's a very addressable target in number, which it means that in terms of size of sales force, it's something that the company can afford in-house without no issue. So definitely our footprint in Europe, it will pay significantly off when we launch the product. And as well as I was mentioning before, when we started developing this product, really the data that we were getting from our surveys is that doctors were starting to use long-acting injectables after the fourth relapse. Now adherence is becoming so critical that we, in the last information that we have managed to get from the market, is that doctors are starting to use LAIs or long-acting injectables after the second relapse. So that means that we're expecting a tremendous growth of this market in the next coming years. And one of the reasons why we choose risperidone instead of other compounds, because that could be a clear question, why risperidone and another different active principle, is because risperidone is actually the second most prescribed oral antipsychotic compound. The first one is quetiapine, but to the best of our knowledge, quetiapine cannot be modeled into our long-acting injectable. And I always bring the data of one of our potential competitors in the future, Alkermes. It has, it's a great American company. They launched a monthly injection of aripiprazole. They were a newcomer. They built from Greenfield their sales force. And just watch, in 3 years, they have managed to make $150 million in sales in the U.S. So again, that what I just want to share is that although we know this market is big, we know that we're going to face fierce competition, we do believe that it's such a tremendous market that there is room to grow for companies like us. Well, as I mentioned before, we announced in July this year the result of our phase 3 clinical trial. We managed to successfully match the primary and all the key secondary endpoints. So with this data, and as well with some additional clinical trials that, like the BORIS for the pharmacokinetics, before the end of the year, we'll be filing in Europe. And in the first half of next year, we'll be filing in the US. So again, I think that's extremely important because it's not only the filing or getting the approval of the product. See, if we manage to get the approval of DORIA in Europe, it also validates the platform itself. And as I mentioned before, we believe that the platform is good enough that it can have plenty of different accommodation to other therapeutic areas. But like in pharmaceuticals, until you get a platform validated with a product from a regulatory point of view, actually you don't have nothing. So we believe that 2021 or 2020 is going to be a fantastic year if we get approval, because it will provide the company two additional growth items. First, a product itself, DORIA, but as well we'll be getting the validation of a platform that we believe it can have tremendous potential in the future. Here again, just to summarize, in order to close the DORIA chapter, I mean, what I mentioned before about the proposition value of our product compared to the 16 compounds on the market. I'm not going to go one by one on all compared to all the different products on the market. Actually, there are not that many, as you can see, as well as a very uncrowded market. But as I mentioned before, we believe it has got some unique features. First, it's a monthly injection. We believe monthly injection is the best time span for doctors to monitor their patients. We don't need oral concomitant dosage like other companies. We don't need to do a building dose as well. We get plasma, therapeutic plasma levels from the very first day. As I mentioned before, we have increased stability. I mean, we don't need cold temperature. In many countries in Europe, you need to go to the retail market, you need to get the product from the pharmacy, and then you have to go the following day to get your product injected. that if it's a cold temperature product, it's a lot of risk. If you don't put it in the fridge properly, it can really affect the reconstitution on the product, and it does affect then the capability to control the symptoms of schizophrenia. And again, as I mentioned before, we chose risperidone because we is the second most prescribed oral antipsychotic. And I believe that that will provide us much better grounds to grow not only on the dynamic market, on the switch rate for other long-acting injectables, but as well on the basic market of those patients taking their oral medication for schizophrenia. And hopefully we will be announcing the total data of the phase 3 in the next, shortly in the next psychiatric congress, but hopefully we'll be able to provide some additional data that it will enhance even further the profile of the product. We believe, and again, I don't have the data, but that was one of the aims of the clinical trial, that we'll be able to control the symptoms of schizophrenia much earlier than any of the companies that any of the products that are currently being marketed. But again, that's something that has yet to be confirmed when the full data of the clinical trial is being released. The second candidate of this platform is letrozole. Letrozole, this is for hormone receptor positive breast cancer that accounts for 60-65% of all the breast cancers. Today it's treated with an oral pill every day of the aromatized inhibitors, either with letrozole or anastrozole from Novartis and AstraZeneca. And so far, it has been confirmed in our phase 1 clinical trial that at least with a 6-month injection, we get the same therapeutic, the same effect. That means the 100% suppression of the estrogen. We completely castrate the release of the hormone with much lesser plasma levels of the product. And that's very important because one of the major contraindications of Femara, of letrozole, is that patients, they have to stop taking their medication because of their side effects. Muscle pains, osteoporosis, and actually it's a major point of concern. But there is nothing out there that it can be substituted. We don't know if on further clinical tests we will be able to confirm that, but at least the phase 1 data shows that two very important things. The first one is that at least we are targeting a 6-month injection. I'm saying at least because the product is still being released and we're still ongoing on phase 1. And the second one is that we get 100% suppression of the hormone, the estrogen, with much lower, low levels of plasma concentration of the product. So again, I think this second candidate, although it's still on an earlier development at Doria, it confirms two things, that the platform works with many different compounds. Doria, in the case of Doria, what we want to achieve is therapeutic plasma levels. On this case, what we are doing is the suppression of a hormone. There are two complete different mechanisms of actions. So that provides how broad and is a technology, and that's why we are so much excited that we get the approval of Doria. Really, the potential of the platform can be very important for the performance of the company. In terms about financials, just to give you some figures, we are a very sound financial company. Last year, in the last 3 years, we managed to deliver a CAGR growth of 7% in terms of revenues, reaching 7% on CAGR growth, to €304 million last year. In our first 9 months result of this year, we are growing at 26%. I don't recall exactly the figure, but it's been a great year for us. In terms of EBITDA, we like always to show the EBITDA data pre-R&D, because I think it's an important way to visualize the profitability of the company. So if we take if we removed our R&D expenditure, we are really getting an EBITDA around 60-61%. That means 20% of percentage of EBITDA margin, with a very important cash flow generation and with a cash conversion north of 59%. But obviously, we are in We're involved in the middle of the clinical trial development. I mean, clinical trial development means a major expenditure in terms of research and development. And last year we were, it was close to 35 million euros, our budget in research and development, and obviously that brings down our EBITDA levels to 30 million euros. But I think it's important to highlight that in terms of profitability, really the company is performing really well. And actually, in a nine-month year results, we were almost doubling our EBITDA figures this year. So if we recap what we have been able to achieve in the last 12 years, I think we have to be very much satisfied. I think the management has delivered and have created value for all the investors that have trusted the company. First, we have increased sales. When we went public, we had a revenue line of 117 million euros. Last year, we finished at slightly over 300 million euros. Our market cap, when we went public, it was 490 million euros. Right now, we have a market cap around 1.4 billion US dollars, euros. But as well, we have managed to keep on in licensing products every year. And as well, we have more than tripled our revenue line in the heparin franchise. So we have managed to deliver every single guidance that we have provided to the market, and we believe that we will be able to be consistent in the future. I think we have all the means and the human resources to really start a new decade delivering similar results to what we have done in the last 10 years. And just to conclude, I think Rovi as a company, we are really at a growth inflection point with a tremendous potential of growth in the next coming years. On one end, we have the enoxaparin biosimilar, 1.5 billion euro opportunity. And we have the long-acting injectable technology with Doria, which will be filing for Europe before the year end, and in the U.S. in the first half next year, and with letrozole that is just waiting there to enter into further clinical trials, and we have a lot of high expectations about the potential of this product on the market. But having all these growth expectations, these obviously are underpinned by our ongoing business that they have delivered year after year. That means our heparin franchise, the existing one with bemiparin, our specialty pharma business that has been delivered year after year, and we believe it's going to continue this way at least for the next coming years, and our high added value global contract manufacturing business. So we believe we had a great past, but we believe that Rovi is just close to really have a substantial growth and really move into a different phase in terms of size and value, and which actually was the reason why we went public in 2007. Well, thank you very much for being here today, and once again, thank you to Jefferies for the invitation.
We do have time for one quick question, if there is one, otherwise I'll close the session. Alec?
Thank you. I have a question, two, may I? First one is very short. What is the percentage of contract manufacturing in your revenue?
Contract manufacturing, we don't disclose contract manufacturing, I thought you were saying contrast media. Contract manufacturing is around 23% of our revenue line.
Okay, thank you. And second one, what is your projection regarding prices of low molecular heparin due to the African fever? Because what we see is that pricing of API growing, but pricing of finished formulation, especially Sanofi, going down. What is your projection?
Well, unfortunately, if we talk about Europe, to increase prices is almost a miracle. So we are not expecting any recognition by the authorities of this increase of raw material. Biosimilars, by definition, our commercial statement is that we have to be cheaper than the original. So unfortunately, you're right. I mean, prices are coming down because of the competition among biosimilars. On the other hand, the raw material, because of the ASF, is going up. And unfortunately, I don't think that scenario will change shortly. And I don't see the the European regulatory authorities at least concerned about that. So far, I mean, I think what at least the way that we have approached it internally is that you have to further streamline your operation lines. You have to reconsider all your industrial operations to try to absorb as much as you can all those incidents that, as well, I have to say, they are not new to heparin players. We suffered the same thing in 2007, 2008. So heparin is a very difficult compound. We cannot forget it's a biological compound that comes from the mucosa of the pig intestine. So it's not something that it can be, how can I say, disregard. I mean, it's extremely, a very, potentially very dangerous compound, and that's why I always ask the regulatory authorities to be very careful of what sort of compounds they approve. Because really, it's not only a question of sourcing the cheapest raw material, but it's also a question of making sure you have the right quality on the product. In 2008, we have close to over 70 casualties in certain countries in Europe because of contaminated raw material.
Thank you very much.